Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, well, if you're an animal lover, be prepared. You're just going to have that animal fancy tickled in a very special way. We are going to be talking with Tim Glass. His wonderful book is called Just This Side of Heaven. It's a story about a little beagle named Penny. And when I was at the Renaissance Fair, I saw a lot of beagles, and everyone that had them, I said, you've got to read this book. It's just wonderful. Timothy Glass and your lovely wife, Kathy, is joining us because Kathy wrote the foreword in your book. I want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Donna.
Now, you obviously have a real love for animals, but what I so enjoyed about your story is how warmly personal it was. It just felt like I was right there with you going through all of these wonderful experiences with this delightful beagle Penny. But we've got to go into a little bit more than this. Now, Kathy, Penny was your dog, wasn't she?
Yes, she was my dog since she was 7 weeks old, so I actually had her before I met Tim.
Now, there's a love story in this, so we've got to hear about the love story, okay? So, I want to know all about it. I know my listeners just have their ears just perked up right there because everybody enjoys a good love story, especially when it involves a delightful character like Penny. But she's not the only one, but she's the primary focus in this book. So, you've got to tell us your story. Who wants to start first?
Well, I'll start. Tim and I were both beagle lovers and both owned beagles, and we were also members of a beagle club or a beagle group on the Internet. And Tim had lost one of his beagles, and a friend of his had posted about it on this beagle list that we were members of. And myself, along with a lot of other people who are on this group, all sent, you know, notes and condolences to Tim about the loss of his female beagle. And for some reason, he didn't respond to most of them, but he answered my email to him, and from there we just started corresponding and talking, and eventually a few months later we met face to face. So that's how our story started.
Donna, basically, she had me from hello. There's a country song by that type, and she literally had me from hello.
Just had you from hello. Little realizing that she and Penny were going to have this whole new world of experience that was going to be coming in. I'm sure she didn't have any idea about the passion for writing that you have. Now, you have, Timothy, put out a series of books called Sleepy Town. Give us a little bit of background about how you evolved as a writer. I don't think you just decided one day in your life, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. It sort of came about in an unusual way.
Well,
talk about that.
Of course, I was a journalist prior to this and everything like that, and I had thought about doing, a series, but I really hadn't put anything, you know, pen to pad. And when 9/11 came along, there was so many people. I still remember sitting glued to my television set, and Peter Jennings was talking about parents and kids that couldn't sleep at night. And I really wanted to do something. I simply felt just like every American, I think, you know, you wanted to get up and do something. And I kept hearing this over and over. I can't sleep at night. The kids can't sleep at night when they do interviews. And I wanted to give something like, a safe haven for children to come to. And that's why I put put everything together, a synopsis for the series of the Sleepy Town Beagles. And each book also, not only is it surrounded by this warm, safe haven called Sleepy Town, but it also has a life lesson. Like the first book, which is Panda Meets Miss Daisy Bloom, basically teaches kids about patience. So there's a life lesson, as well as, you know, they know what Sleepy Town is all about. The second book basically goes into one's fears. The third book deals with, you know, having a sibling come into your life all of a sudden. The fourth book basically deals with differences. And so much in school you hear about people bullying people because they look different or they may talk with a different accent. So that book deals with differences. But each time you go into the Sleepy Town book series, it's surrounded, it's always, you know, we draw Sleepy Town looking the same way. We give the child a blueprint, because so many times parents will say, well, go to bed, and kids really don't understand what to expect. You know, it becomes dark, the lights go out, it becomes scary. So what I thought is, let's give them sort of a blueprint, and I gave them Sleepy Town. And we had phenomenal results from that. And Penny, of course, which Just the Side of Heaven is about, Penny was always, we got letters constantly from parents because she was the all-knowing one, the one with wisdom and the whole nine yards. So she was one of the most popular characters in the Sleepy Town Beagles series. So that's basically how it all came to be.
Well, you have had a love affair with beagles since you were 17 years old. Tell us about Toby.
Well, I was driving to, actually, I was taking myself and a girlfriend to school. And out on the highway was a little, I mean, we're talking probably 7-8 week old beagle puppy that somebody had dumped. And it was rush hour. I mean, you know, everybody was heading off to work or to school, and here's this little puppy just darting in and out of traffic, and I spotted it, and I pulled my truck over and ran out and just basically rescued the little thing. And just from that point on, I you know, they've just been a part of my life.
Isn't it fascinating how we will pick certain breeds, or they're brought into our space, and there's a lot of people that are listening that are animal lovers that have adopted various mutts, but they all, and mutts are not an insultive term, just means that they're sort of the hybrids that have evolved, and they all have such wonderful personalities. We have Scotties, my husband and I, and we just love them. They're such characters, and I've never met an animal that doesn't have a personality. And
well, it's such unconditional love, and I think that that's the key. And animals, I mean, they don't care if you're having a bad hair day, or even if you just didn't make a payment or something like that, they don't care. They love you no matter what, and I think that's what it is. And I mean, you know, as human beings, we have a flaw. I mean, we get upset, we do this, we do that. But I mean, honestly, in all my life, in all the pups that I've been a part of, you know, and been blessed with, I can tell you that, you know, they always love you, no matter what. And I think that's the key.
And if nothing else, they make sure that you stay alive and kicking. Because
oh, yeah.
They're always up to mischief. Right, Kathy?
Yes, we've had plenty of that in our house.
Oh, my goodness. You tell in the foreword of the book about how Penny found your shoes. Holy Moses, have I been that through that experience of puppyhood?
You know,
when you get
and
them.
The thing was, it was my fault because I normally put a baby gate up at the bottom of the stairs before I went to work, so she couldn't get upstairs. And I was in a hurry, I'm sure, that day, and I simply forgot to put the gate there. So she had this whole new world to explore while I was at work. And I came home, and my shoes were in the closet in one of those little things that has the different compartments. And, of course, the closet door was open.
Of course.
She just helped herself to three shoes. And, of course, there were three different shoes. So she had to ruin three pair, you know, not, you know, a matching pair.
Right. She didn't do them equally. She had to make sure she got one only of each pair.
Yes. So... that was her big chewing adventure, but, you know, she loved to chew when she was younger. You know, her favorites were cardboard and plastic, and, you know, you could give her a brand new toy, but she'd rather have the box, so.
Just like a kid.
Yep.
Absolutely just like a human toddler. Everything goes in the mouth. And they check everything out. And I enjoyed your talking, Timothy, about Brandy and how she just welcomed people into the house, but heaven help if somebody was doing any repair work, because if they were to check their toolbox after they left your house, the tools disappeared.
And, you know, that was so weird because I could work around there, and she wasn't as bad with me, but certainly if, like, the phone man, and I honestly was just thinking of that because today we had a repairman here, and he set his tools down on the floor, and I thought of her because, and it was so odd that she would have a whole collection out in her, like, little area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd have to call them and traipse down and get the tools to them and everything like that. And I don't know why, but she just loved to do that sort of thing. But that's just, you know, typical puppy. And, you know, you know people that get these pups and everything, I mean, it's so sad. We do a lot of rescue, Kathy and I do,
mm-hmm.
helping the rescue groups. It doesn't have to be a beagle group. It can be, in fact, we were helping a Basset group, I think it was about a month ago. And, you know, it's just mind-boggling when you see a pup that has been, you know, just left, and it doesn't make any sense to Kathy and I because they look to you for everything. I mean,
That's right. Are
like a child. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, these little creatures, they have a heart that is huge, and they look to you for everything. And I don't understand how people can do those things. But, you know, it's like, you know, chewing can be a problem with pups, and there's ways to get in and around that. In fact, we did one radio show, and they were asking for tips on housebreaking and this, that, and the other because people were hearing this. And the book basically, you know, encompasses our life, as you say, from the very,
mm-hmm.
very beginning to actually the end. The bottom line is, though, the understanding that the human being has to have for that little being. We call them fur kids. I mean, they're like children with fur. That's it in a nutshell. You know, the bottom line is they're going to get into things just like a toddler will, and it's your job as sort of the parent figure or, you know, the person there to the human being to educate them on what not to do, because obviously there's things that dogs can get into that are not healthy for them, you know, and stuff like that. So that's what just really, I mean, it just boggles my mind with these rescue groups and everything like that. Thank God they're there, because so many people, I mean, they just, you know, give up on them. Or, you know, and we're seeing a lot of it with the economy, what it is right now. People
mm-hmm.
can't seem to do the vets and the food and all that. I'm very glad to see that the House bill is going before, I don't know if you noticed that, there's a bill going before Congress right now where they're proposing, what is it, Kathy, $3,500 deduction for pet owners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be wonderful.
Well, let's go a little bit further in your personal journey with beagles, because you had... Ms. Beamer, and she was a 13-inch purebred beagle.
Right.
You loved her dearly, and Gunner was your other beagle, and the two of them were really good buddies, but there was one particular evening, this is before you met Kathy, where you talked to your dog the way I talk to my dogs, and you asked Beamer if she could please help you find that special woman you never seemed to be able to find on your own. And it's when you put out a request to the universe, sometimes the result is not exactly what you would expect, and that was the case Beamer. Beamer ended up being killed by two other dogs that mauled her to death and broke her neck, and that was heartbreaking for you. So you went on the Internet, and you, just like Kathy was saying, it was on a Beagle list. You were just inundated with condolences, and Kathy had her few words in there, and you said to this day it's still a mystery to you why you even responded.
I really couldn't. I mean, Donna, I cannot tell you even, you know, the book's been out, and I still can't tell you why I responded to Kathy's email.
Mm-hmm.
There was just something in it, I guess. And like I said, she had me from hello. I did do that with Beamer. I had friends. I swear they were playing matchmaker, and I used to, you know, I'd find anything. Oh, I'm going to be out of town that weekend, or, oh, I've got this lady coming in, and you're just going to love her, and it's like, oh, you know what, I'm out of town there.
And I think that's typical, Tim.
You know,
Kathy, I really do.
Well, Kathy was safe, I thought. I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, after I had said that to Beamer, I pretty much let it go, and that's pretty much biblically what they tell you to do, is give it over, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just let it go.
And I let it go, and the bottom line is, you know, as you mentioned, what I did is I talked to a friend that had known me and known of my beagles and everything like that, and I mentioned to her what had happened to Miss Beamer. And the dogs next door, basically, and this is during, I had had a bad wreck, and I have basically an inoperable back from that. And during that time, I couldn't get around really, really well. And what had happened is they had dug a little hole, and Beamer, being inquisitive, had stuck her head just enough under that hole, and they pulled her over there.
Mm-hmm.
But long story short is I happened to mention this to a friend of mine whose name was Katie, and she put it out there to the list. And like I said, there was 300 condolences rolled in, and each one of them I looked at. But for some reason, I can still remember sitting down at my desk and typing out a letter to Kathy thanking her. And why did I pick her? I couldn't tell you. But, you know, the only thing I can tell you is in my heart, for the first time, I fell in love for all the right reasons, because we got to know each other without even, well, she had gone to my writer's website, so she knew what I looked like. However, I had no clue what she looked like. And so I really felt a strong connection with Kathy as we built it up over a period of time. And that's, I think, the key to a lot of things. We became friends long before there was anything else.
Now, one of the things I thought was so cool is that when you went to Kathy's place for the first time, and you were thousands of miles apart, this was a long-distance relationship for a short period of time, and when you walked into that house, Kathy, you had Panda, and you had Penny, and boy, they really let him have it, didn't they?
Well, Penny is a little bit more welcoming, but Panda has always been the dominant one, or thought that she's the dominant one, and she just really let him know right away who's the boss in this house, or, you know, who she thought was the boss. So he had to work to win her over, but now, you know, she's been Daddy's girl, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the longest time, and she's, you know, always with Daddy.
Right. Well, the two of you got together for a while. You learned about New England, and where had you been?
Oh, yeah. Did I learn?
Yes. You were in New Mexico. I mean, this had to be a climate trauma. This love story is in the book, so I'm not going to give all of my listeners the information to find details. They have to get the book so they can find out. They'll laugh and they'll cry. They'll just have a good time with it. But you had to adjust from the New Mexico warm weather lifestyle and going into New England and experiencing snow and all of the different things that go on there. It was like a whole different world for you.
Yes, it was. And you know, I was born in Pennsylvania, so, but I swear, I mean, I've been out here in the Southwest since I've been 4 years old. Now, we have four distinct seasons in New Mexico, but they're not as, I don't know how
drastic.
Drastic. The changes are not as drastic. And, you know, I was just mesmerized by the snow, the amount of snow that Kathy had there. And I swore that, you know, it all fell right in her yard. And then, you know, there was just little subtle differences that I guess probably most people wouldn't pick up on. But even the, like, for instance, the speech pattern, I would go out and I, you know, being from the Southwest, I'll say y'all, and I would say that in New England, and they would look at me like, you know, I was Carrie with my head spinning around, you know.
You were from another planet. They didn't know whether
another
they
planet.
You there.
Literally. But, you know, and then one time I walked out in the backyard, and she was talking to her neighbor, and I walked out there, and he looked down, and I had a pair of cargo shorts on. And he said, "You got your shots on." And I couldn't figure out what in the world was shots. And, you know, I couldn't figure out how I put them on because, you know, I didn't know what they were. And he was referring to the shorts and
yes.
everything like that. But I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I loved it there. I guess I'm more adaptable than most people. And the climate really didn't bother me. They were taking bets, the New Englanders, how long I would stay. They kept telling Kathy, "Oh, he'll be out of here. First snow, he'll be out of here."
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, there was just little odds and ends, like I brought my coat, which that's all we wear here in
right.
the Southwest. And she bought me a parka, and it was had snowflake ratings. And I'm sitting here like going, "What?"
That was really a locale weather cultural shock.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you go to Alaska.
Yeah.
When you're in areas of the country, Montana, you know, anywhere where you're going to have those weather patterns that if you've never experienced them, they are really something. But you have these beagles. Now, eventually, you decided you were going to settle in New Mexico. And you have a story in here about the beagles and what it was like and how they were... they escaped from their crates on the trip, and there's just so much fun stuff in here about these dogs. But I really wanted to talk about how Penny was a dog that most people would just be shaking their heads and going click, 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 click with their lips when going, that's a no-no. She liked to walk without a leash. In fact, Kathy, you used to take all three of the beagles, but you'd take two at one time and then the third, and Penny let you know she was going to walk by herself. Thank you very much. She didn't need to have you put her on a leash. That was quite an eye-opening awakening, wasn't it?
Yeah, she just was very independent, and she was always that way. But one day, and I forget why, but for a while, we try to walk the dogs together, and I forget why I was doing it on my own for a while. And the three of them... Well, it's a little bit hard just because they don't really walk in a straight line and, you know, they get all tangled up and whatever. So, and Penny liked to walk faster, so I would usually take her by herself and take the other two together. And for some reason, you know, she just was not going to wait her turn that day. And as soon as I opened the door, she just managed to slip right through and... She just pranced ahead of us the whole way, like, look at me. And, you know, fortunately, our neighborhood itself is fairly quiet streets, but it's right off of a very busy highway. So I was having heart failure the whole way in case mm-hmm. she decided to keep going. But fortunately, you know, when we turned the corner, you know, she would come with us and go the same way because they pretty much go on the same route every day, so she did know the way, but she had a great time, but it was not so great for Mom and Dad.
I can imagine. And then Penny would challenge you. Penny had a taste for diamonds, Tim, and I'm not going to talk about the whole story. I'll merely say that Tim very graphically describes how he's under the bed wrestling with a Beagle King Kong of types that has her jaws clamped around a package, a very special package. She had expensive tastes, this Beagle did, and she was not going to give them up for anybody. And you can get the visual. That's right. His tush was sticking out underneath that edge of that bed, and the rest of him was fighting to get this package. You have to get the book.
Unfortunately, my mother-in-law was witnessing the end result, literally the end result.
Yes, that is a good thing to add always when the mother-in-law views behavior that is a little bit different. Yes, well, there's all kinds of things. These beagles even knew how to open the windows in the car because they liked the wind blowing in their face. They just had a time until they found the beagle-proof locks that were on the car and the most adorable photos in this book. They're absolutely priceless. And then there are the stories that as Penny's getting older and then at the close of her life, what she went through. And the book is just so wonderful, Tim, because it is warm, it is so real, you laugh, you cry through it, and for those of us that have dogs that have walked a path of our own with them, we can go, oh, I remember something like that, let me tell you what I went through. Yeah. I mean, those are the responses that you have, because it enables us to bring up memories of those that we've loved, those four-legged fur persons, as a friend of mine used to call them, fur persons. Tim, with what you've done with Just This Side of Heaven, are you continuing on with your Sleepy Town series, or are you going to be doing something else?
Actually, I do have the fifth book to the Sleepy Town Beagles done. It is with a publisher. However, you know, they're looking at different scenarios as with the economy. There's quite... with picture books for children, there's, I mean, people probably don't realize this, but there's so much more that goes into them, which is the color ink and the four-color process, and it just goes on and on. So they have the book. It's been approved. They're waiting for the correct time to release that fifth book for the Sleepy Town Beagles. I do have another book out called Postcards right now, which is a romance. As you mentioned, a love story in this book about a pet. And my editor out in New York talked to Kathy and I, and he had mentioned Tim needs to do a love story. And I sort of grumbled about it and protested for a while, but I ended up doing the story, and we're getting a lot of good feedback on that as well.
Well, I can understand that. For those of you who are listening, this book is a must-read. If you like animals, this will touch your heart and your mind and your funny bone. It is just absolutely delightful. Just This Side of Heaven. It is about this beautiful beagle, and her picture is on the front of the book. It's her story, as well as the story of so many other parts of Tim and Kathy's life and their other animals. But Penny is the star here. She's not with us anymore, but she's left in memorial and since forever because of this wonderful book, Just This Side of Heaven. Now, you have a website, Tim. It's timglass.com, timglass.com, and people can go there and they can find out more about your other stories and how to order this one if they want. This book is at Amazon.com. What kind of a thought would you like to leave with us as we're closing out our conversation for today, Tim?
Well, you know, the one thing I want to say about this particular book is it's a journey that celebrates life through loss. And Kathy and I have heard this time in and time again. Readers write us. They've heard us on radio shows like your show. And they tell us that not only with pet loss, but the book has helped them, the chapter on the dash has helped them with the loss of a loved one. And so many times we have heard that. That wasn't the focus of the book, but oddly enough, we have managed to touch the hearts of a lot of people and help them heal. And that in itself is the biggest paycheck that any author can ever ask for. And like I said, I mean, we've received countless letters from radio shows that we've done, and people that have just picked up the book are someone has suggested the book to him, and we get, you know, I had to write you. So there is a contact page on my website. I love to hear from our readership. I'm not one of these type of authors that hides behind my publisher or anything like that. And in fact, one lady was so touched by the book. There's a picture on the website of the quilt. She took one of the what we call a beat in the story when Penny was passing away, and I knew she was fighting to stay with Kathy and I. And I said, go with Gunner. And she took that beat in the story, and she, I don't know how you do a quilt, but she did a quilt just from that beat of the story.
Amazing.
And so that is worth everything to us. And, I mean, you know, that speaks volumes. I mean, like I said, when I set out to write this book, I basically set out for, because so many people that have own pets, they're basically closet cases. When a pet is sick or they die, they are afraid to say something. I mean, Kathy and I had one person that told us, it's just a dog.
They don't understand.
They don't understand.
Tim, we are out of time. I'm sorry. And I just, it's just delightful having you and Kathy as guests today. Just This Side of Heaven is the name of the book. It would make a great gift for a young person, a person actually of any age, if they love animals. Tim and Kathy, thanks again. The website is timglass.com. This is Donna Sebo. We have to go. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, well, we've got other good things to share with you as well. Just This Side of Heaven by Tim Glass. Pick it up. You'll be glad you did.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Here's the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's right, the telephone lines are open. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do that. All I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial. And then after that, just sit back, relax. Of course, I like to know where you're calling from, too. But sit back, relax, and let me share with you my intuitive insights. And then, of course, you can ask a question about anything that you like. So here's the toll-free number, 888 815-9756. And I've had somebody say to me, gee, Donna, I didn't get on the show. I wanted to be on the show. Well, you have to call in early enough, because if you call in at the last minute, you're not going to be able to get on. We're just not going to have enough time to chat. So do call in earlier in the second part of the show. I wanted to share with you also my guests that are going to be coming on next week. We're going to be talking about money and manifestation. Yes, we are. Diane Garris is going to be my guest on Monday. And then P.J. Nichols is going to be with me. We're going to be talking about three of the children's books that she has published and the messages behind them. You know, it's just right at the end of summer, and sometimes we need to know what to keep our kids occupied with. And I am such a supporter of reading. Could you tell? I read 400 to 600 books a year. Well, it's because I have always loved reading. I really, really believe in it. And I think that it enables a person to have a capacity for personal freedom that they would not have otherwise. If you don't read, if you don't explore, how are you going to know what is out there in the world, what's available to you? Just talking to your next-door neighbor isn't going to give you everything, and being on the Internet isn't going to give you everything. And if you're on the Internet, you've got to be a good reader. So for those young kids, we want to encourage them, and that's what these books are about. The Anderson Method. William Anderson is going to share with us a technique to be able to empower you in your life. And then Stephanie Marone, we're going to be talking about audacious aging. Every one of us is getting older. That's right. Each day that we live brings us into that different category of aging. And that doesn't mean that you have to become a fossil. No way. Those are archaic beliefs. No, no, no. Look at Jack LaLanne. He's still going strong. And he's going on 96 years young. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get even better. Then we've got Deanna Minnick, and she's going to be talking about her wonderful book, The A to Z Food Guide. Now, what she's done is given specifics on things that people need to be aware of when they're reading labels on food. So this is going to be very informative. And then we're going to be talking on Friday, the following week, The Secret Life of Genius with John Chambers. The Secret Life of Genius. Good stuff. Did you know you had that in you? You do. Well, this is Donna Sebo. Again, telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I'll be able to do a reading for you on the air. There is a woman. Her name is Bridget Monroe. And she was the very first female admissions director at West Point. She is a colonel today. And this is a story that I think is important because there are so many people, so many young women, that do not realize how important an education is. I am a strong supporter of family and home and getting married and all that kind of good stuff. But we live in a different world today. And it is extremely important for women to be able to understand that they can do whatever they want to do, but they will have to get an education so they can be accomplished and be recognized. It's been a long haul, and in many parts of the world, women still are forcibly kept illiterate. In many parts of the world, they don't want the women to read. Why? Just for the same reason they don't want men to read. Study history. Those tyrants of the world always want to keep the masses ignorant because that way they can dominate them and control them. And when you control them, or they think they're being controlled and they have no choices, that is a form of slavery. And ignorance contributes to that slavery level in an incredible manner. So when you are able to read, you do a lot. Well, there was a program when Bridget was 16 years of age. It was called Women at West Point. She said it really inspired her, and she decided she was going to enter West Point, and she resigned 2 years later. She wasn't really all that sure if the Army was really right for her, but she said almost immediately after she left, she realized that she had made a terrible mistake and was lucky enough to be readmitted. And she had a classmate, his name was Kenny, And she said, 3 days after graduation, we were married. The question has been asked of Bridget, was it harder to be a woman at West Point? She said, well, I don't know. She said, I don't know what it's like to be a man at West Point. It seemed like 10% thought it was great that women were there, 10% hated it, and 80% couldn't have cared less. Now, her next statement was a statement that I thought was very significant. She said, without role models, the women at West Point didn't know what right looked like. They were always asking the questions, could they have a successful Army career, be married, have children, and balance all of those things. Now, women graduates eventually started serving on staff, and cadets told them after they had been in their positions for a while how important it was to see how they were working. And she currently is the director of admissions, and she said, we're seeing a moderate increase in applications because a West Point education is fully funded. And she said, having gone through her own daughter's college selection process, she understands how very, very stressful it is in today's world to try to get into college. Her husband was struck by an explosive in Iraq last year, and he had been serving over there for almost 20 months. And she said she felt a little bit more confident about his environment because she could talk to him. There was email and there were cell phones. However, he was taken to Walter Reed after being involved in this explosion, and she said, my son was able to be with his dad on his birthday. She said, fortunately, my husband has been able to recover quickly. We understand the dangers of what is going on and what's happening in Iraq, yet we feel very privileged to be able to serve our country because there is so much that has been given to us that has been so very, very important in our lives. I think her story is significant, and if we remember this, and I know we have a caller on the line, but bear with me for a moment, education is priceless. If you have a youngster, if you yourself are thinking of going back to school, do it. Don't be afraid to learn. Expand your mind. Your world is going to be so much richer, and you'll be able to pass it on. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Patricia from Tucson.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
And let's get busy with you. What I'm looking at, Patricia, is hard work. And I think that you're going to be finding that your attention to detail is going to be consistent. Also, what I want you to know is that you are going to have a bit of a conflict with someone whose values seem to be like yours, but there is going to be either a statement made or an action taken that for you just crosses over a line that you don't want to cross. And you're going to be perplexed as to how to handle this situation. And I think there will be a moment when you will have to state how you feel about it, and you must speak truthfully. I would say you must speak with clarity. Don't try to sugarcoat it. But just look the person straight in the eye and say, you have a right to do whatever you want to do. However, this is not something I am comfortable with. I will not choose to be a part of this or to accept this or to endorse it in any way. Know that, and you make your choice. And then step out of it. And I think they're going to be somewhat surprised, but I think because of your clarity of words and backing away, that is going to make them think, and I think their actions will be adjusted. What it is, I have no clue. That's not being shown to me. But just be wise. Don't be afraid to speak the truth as you feel it, as you know it to be. And above all, don't violate your own integrity. What question do you have for me today?
Oh, I'm not sure that I have a question. I just, I'm writing down what you're saying. And I just encountered someone in a situation like that. And So I, as I grow older, I am more surprised by people.
Well, don't you think that's because you're becoming more aware of yourself?
Could be. And the thing is, you know, when people tend to have certain amounts of experience, well, as you started this out, when you started talking, you said, oh, it's, you know, it could be someone similar to yourself with similar values or along those lines. That's what I've been encountering recently once or twice with different people, and I'm just so surprised.
Well, that's the way life should be. There always should be surprises, and some you really need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Well, hon, I've got to go on break. I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Have a fabulous weekend.
You too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi. While we were off air, I was talking with Seth, the engineer that works behind the scenes, along with Don, and I was telling him how frustrated I was with my computer. Do you ever have days when your computer gets PMS? Well, mine seemed to be having a lot of random attacks. And I was not happy. And there were things that I was trying to do. Well, I'll share something with you that I discovered because I finally decided I was just going to turn the computer off, shut everything down, and then reboot it. So I closed out all the programs, turned it off, and a sign comes up. Windows is downloading 12 updates. Two have been completed. The computer could not even be turned off until those updates were processed, and those updates will interfere. So if you, like me, find that your computer has PMS attacks, just understand that it might be because of these updates that are being put out by the Windows processing system, and everything has to catch up. So if you have things that are weird and unusual, just turn it off and let it do its updates. Turn it back on. And it works fine after that. I don't know. Gee whiz. So I think guys can complain about women all they want, but I'll tell you what, these computers have more PMS attacks than any female on record, as far as I'm concerned. I wanted to share a bit of information with you. People are coming up with all kinds of innovative ideas to save energy, to make this planet a better place, to do things better. That's the nature of the human being in the thinking process. Well, I came across some information. I've got a picture of this, in fact, in front of me. It's the next small car. Now, I wouldn't buy one. But it's an interesting, it reminds me of a two-seater scooter with super large wheels that has a partial cover over your head, but the sides are all open. And I thought, here in the Pacific Northwest, that's not going to work for us at all, especially when it rains. But in the sunny parts of the world, I guess it'd be just fine. Segway and General Motors are developing the Puma. That's the abbreviation for the Personal Urban Mobility and Accessibility Pod. It's a two-seater that goes more than 30 miles at up to 35 miles per hour on one battery charge. To me, it looks like, well, sort of like an updated golf cart with big wheels. But for some people, that might just be fine. It's absolutely perfect. It does go faster than a golf cart, but it's about as unattractive as a golf cart. Personal opinion, of course, for all of you golfers. Don't mean to insult you, but I just don't think golf carts are especially attractive. So anyway, but they serve a purpose, and that's what this vehicle is, and it'll be interesting to see how many people would want to buy it, because if you go more than 30 miles an hour, and all it's good for is 35 miles, you're just going to want to putz around the neighborhood or to your local store. Something like that might be very convenient to have. But I really wish they'd come up with something that's attractive looking, runs on compressed air, has room for the dog, for the groceries, cats, ferrets, whatever you've got, kids, husband, spouse. You need to have plenty of room in here. Why do they keep trying to compress us into ladybug-sized vehicles? I don't understand this. Might be fine for some, but that's not something that most of us like. In fact, there's a lot of people that think bigger is better. Why? Because you're hauling a lot around. If you're like a friend of mine that's got a son that's involved with music, she was hauling not just him, but a whole group of kids. Now, you're not going to be able to fit that into a little thing like this. It's just not going to work. But anyway, there's something for everybody, and that's what ingenuity is all about. Also, College of Textiles at North Carolina State is designing hospital gowns. Gee, it only took them a little bit of time to come up with this one. The patients can stop hating. You know, those gowns that they say they're covering you and, well, all you need is someone sneezing and the cover's off. Okay, according to the Wall Street Journal, one idea is a kimono style that wraps 1.5 times around the body to cover everything that once hung out and then some. Well, again, you have to look at what is going to be going on with a patient. What are the patient's needs? One of the reasons the hospital gowns have stayed in the style that they have is that many times when physicians have to go in and examine patients, it makes it easy for them to do the examination. So can they come up with something better? You betcha. Well, we just have to wait and see what that is going to be. Also, pianos. If you love piano, I do love piano. I'm not a player, but I absolutely love it. The sales of acoustic, upright, and grand pianos, they went down from 2000 to 2007. Why? Electric keyboards are taking their place. And portability is what is so important in today's world. And with the sophistication of technology, the sounds they come out with are absolutely amazing. But, hey, to learn how to play those instruments the good old-fashioned way is really a challenge. And there's some people still doing that, too. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Money and manifesting, that's what we're going to be talking about on Monday. And during this weekend, I hope you will have a fabulous time. Take care, be wise, don't be in a hurry, and savor the delicious days of summer. Be talk to you Monday, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.